Hello, everyone, and welcome to our special member meeting. Hold on, I got a cough, I think. I had some nuts real quick, and you know how they can kind of get caught in the throat. All right, so welcome to our special member meeting. And the reason that we're having this special member meeting is because there has been some, I don't know what you would call it. Some people might call it drama. Some people might call it conflict happening lately. And it has happened in the sanctuary and therefore has been broadcast out on the sanctuary broadcast. And then different people who have heard little parts of it have begun asking what's up. And so I thought I would come and answer that question. Many of you may not be aware of this at all. You just came because you heard there was a meeting. I think that's okay. I think anyone who hasn't heard about this at all is blessed, you know. So that's my opinion. But I do want to address it. What has happened is that some people have heard a portion of a story without knowing the whole of the story. There have been gaps in maybe what they have heard, and without realizing it, their mind has made up things to fill in the gaps so that then what they think is true is not true, and then they share it as if it is true, and other people become upset believing it. So what I want to do tonight is I'm going to tell the story in a very high-level way. When I say a high-level way, that's because there are probably at least 100 emails, if not more, where a few people said a lot of things. There are some recordings of things that were said in the sanctuary. There are transcripts of things that were typed on the board. There's a lot of detail to this. And although I went through that detail, again, to refresh my memory of everything, and I've reread all of the detail, I don't plan to bring the detail here. Most of the detail is minutia. But this is the story. The story begins on July 5th, so just under a month ago. There was a Michael Langford study group that met here in the sanctuary, and this group was very well attended. I think there were around 40 people present, some of the people from Awakening Together, some of the people maybe from ReginaDonAkers.com. They don't usually come into Awakening Together, and some of the people were Michael Langford followers. And during this group, one member came into the sanctuary and used the board to kind of type insults to everybody who was at this Michael Langford group. You know, I think some of the insults were things like calling them brown nosers, because Michael Langford is my teacher, so, you know, y'all are just here because it's Regina's teacher and that kind of thing. And this is how the conflict began. Really, the way that I perceive the beginning of the conflict is that there was confusion regarding who the administrator of the sanctuary was, and therefore confusion regarding who should have taken care of this person. You know, maybe said to this person, hey, you know, we have etiquette. You know, if you don't follow the etiquette, we'll need to red dot you. You know, who should have managed that so that the insults weren't happening on the board? There was confusion about who had that responsibility. And this is where the conflict really began. That's all I need to say about that. That's where the conflict began. Within that conflict, over the next 5 days, from July 5 to July 10, there were a lot of emails. And I was very aware that there were a lot of emails because I happened to be on vacation that week. And so, you know, I was only checking email like once in the morning and once in the evening. And whew, there were a lot of emails. And in the emails, there were accusations and there were things said that weren't nice. I think also what was happening here in the room is, you know, there was additional protesting in the room, making the admin's job harder than usual. So there was an upheaval. And I think out of the frustration of how difficult the job of being the admin had become, as well as out of feeling attacked through these emails, Lynn, our sanctuary director, wrote to me saying that she was ready to resign. And she said that she wanted to resign because there was a conflict between her values and Awakening Together's values. Yeah, Lynn says that would be me. Lynn knows that she's the only name that I'm mentioning today. I'm not mentioning either other names. I told her that mentioning her name was unavoidable. Lynn also knows everything that I'm going to say today. I had a meeting with Lynn and I went over everything first. So there are no surprises for Lynn. So on July 10th, Lynn wrote to me in the morning time saying that she was ready to resign, because there was a conflict between her personal values and the values of Awakening Together, the organization. And again, this all came out of this conflict that was occurring. That evening, I wrote back to Lynn and asked her if she said that just in the heat of the moment. Because I know that sometimes when people are upset, they can say things they don't really mean. I actually assumed, incorrectly, that Lynn would say, yeah, she was just upset. But she didn't. She told me that there is a conflict between her values and Awakening Together's values, and that she wanted to resign. That was on July 10th. Now, remember, I was on vacation. The following Monday when I was back was July 18th. This is when I returned from vacation. And we have a regularly scheduled trustee meeting that day at July 18th. And one of the things that was already on the agenda for that trustee meeting was to revise the sanctuary policy. And the reason that was on the agenda is because there's been a change in the labor law, and I'll talk more about that later in this meeting. But there's been a change in the labor law, which is going to result in a change in the way we need to do things in the sanctuary, and we needed to change the policy in response to this law. So it was already on the agenda to discuss the sanctuary policy. Lynn had rewritten it, you know, based on this law, and she's the one that presented it. But because of this conflict that was currently happening, a big discussion ensued beyond the original intention for looking at that policy. As a result of that discussion, the trustee decided to make 3 changes to the sanctuary policy. One is to put kind of a caution in there for the admins, just to let them know that this is a time when you need to be a little more careful when you're adminning. One of those cautions is when you're adminning people that you know. Because one thing that we have observed, and especially came up during this conflict, is if I, for example, expect, and I'm going to use Lynn's name only as an example. This isn't really Lynn, but she's the only name I chose to use today, so I'm going to use her as an example now. If I expect Lynn to come into the sanctuary and be disruptive, right? If I have that expectation in my head, I already know her, and I have an attitude about who she is and how she's going to be. When she comes into the sanctuary and types something, I might see it disruptive even if it's not, right? So if I'm adminning somebody I already know and somebody I've already made up my mind about, I may need to be more on my toes. And the opposite goes, you know, if it's somebody that I really like, my best friend, you know, I love you, I think you're funny, I may see something as just cute sarcasm when actually it shouldn't have been permitted on the board. So we added to the sanctuary policy that one time that AT admins need to be very careful is when they're adminning people they already know and may have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of. We also added when they need to be careful when they're in strong agreement or strong disagreement with a speaker. Because in our discussion, what we discovered is that if the admin really, really doesn't like the speaker, they might allow more kind of negative comments to be typed because they're in agreement with them. Or they may be oversensitive to some of the comments that are typed if they really, really like a speaker, right? They may be oversensitive. So we decided that was another time that the admin needs to be very careful. The third change that we decided to make to the policy in that meeting was to add the word kindness to our etiquette. Our etiquette already talks about being respectful. But as a result of that conversation, one member introduced the idea of kindness and the idea of loving. However, after the team discussed it, they felt that loving was, you know, kind of hard to monitor. You know, that's more of an inside thing. But kindness could be monitored. And even when this new sanctuary policy comes out, it even has a definition of kindness in it. We agreed to put a definition in there. So the majority of the trustees, I don't think it was 100%, but the majority, and of course this is a majority vote thing, the majority of the trustees felt in their heart that adding kindness to the sanctuary etiquette, which does mean that in order to type on the board or speak on the mic, it needs to be kind, that should be added to the policy. So these changes happened on July 18th. On July 19th, Lynn and I had a meeting that was already scheduled. In fact, it was scheduled from before I went on vacation. We do annual performance reviews here at Awakening Together, just like many organizations do. And this was Lynn's annual performance review. But obviously, since Lynn had just told me she wanted to resign, a big topic of conversation was that. I started the meeting by asking Lynn what was really in her heart. I mean, after all, she had told me she wanted to resign on July 10th. This was now July 19th. You could call it an additional cooling off period, you know, had occurred. We talked for an hour and a half. And what Lynn described was that her values, her heart, were out of sync with Awakening Together's values. In fact, she told me this had been true for a long time. This wasn't new. It wasn't as a result of this conflict. This had been true for a long time. That many times she had asked herself, "What am I doing here?" And at the end of the conversation, Lynn decided to formally resign. Our conversation was a very amicable conversation. I mean, I felt that the air was cleared through the conversation. And I perceived that Lynn felt the same way, but I will let her speak for herself. It felt like a good and healthy conversation. So Lynn resigned, and I accepted her resignation. Although I was sad, and if any of y'all heard my meditation the next morning, it was the broken heart meditation. This was the cause of the broken heart. I was sad, but I understood. And I even agreed. I agreed because I don't think anyone should be in conflict within themselves. I think everyone needs to be genuine, both inside and outside. And if working for Awakening Together puts Lynn in a position where she can't really be genuine, she can't follow our policies and be aligned with her own heart, then it's best for her and the organization that she resign. So I also agreed. I understood. That's the way I'm going to say it. I understood. And I love Lynn, and I was sad, but I understood. Later that day, and this is where things begin to get a little more complicated. Later that day, Lynn received an email from Michael Langford. And this is a fairly long email in which he appears to say that Lynn has never really been a very good sanctuary director. Of course, Lynn was hurt by this email, and one of the things she did that night was she sent an email to me. I didn't quite understand the foundation of the email yet, but she sent an email to me saying, "I'm sorry I ruined the sanctuary." And I didn't understand where that came from, because the discussion that we had 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 nothing to do with her ruining the sanctuary. The discussion that we had had that day had everything to do with her values being in conflict, right? So I thought at that time that that maybe she didn't understand the conversation in the same way I did. But now I realize, because she has told me, that the reason she sent me that apology wasn't based on our meeting, but based on the email that she got from Michael Langford. She also wrote to him and told him that she resigned. She shared that information with him. The next day, July 20th, Lynn gave her formal letter of resignation to me and Phil, and I think a couple other people were CC'd on it as well, but Phil is the chairman of the board, and of course me as the president minister. Those are the two people that you would, you know, give your formal letter of resignation to. One thing about Lynn's resignation is that she has not given us a final date, and the reason she has not given us a final date is because she loves everyone here. She loves the sanctuary. And she knows that if she was to leave before we had another plan in place, well, we would probably just have to close the sanctuary, right? She doesn't want that to happen. So even though she does want to leave, and in fact, Lynn and I talked again at 4 just before this meeting. It's 6 my time now, so that would have been 2 hours ago. It's 6:18, 2 hours ago. We talked 2 hours ago. She still wants to resign. She still feels a conflict, and she no longer wants to be experiencing this conflict within herself. We're not talking about the outer conflict here. She sounds quite certain to me. We've talked about it a few times now, and she sounds quite certain to me. But she is willing to stay so that it is a smooth change for everyone. And so this is why we don't have a date of resignation yet. So July 20 is when she gave us her letter of resignation without a date, and now you know why. On July 21, she got another email from Michael Langford, and this is where things got really messy. And this is where most of you, if you know about this, this is where your knowledge of the entire thing began. In this email, he said that there are 3 people who love her who are sure that she is mentally ill. And that there are 2 additional people who believe she has recently become mentally ill. And this really upset Lynn. Really upset Lynn. Not a little bit, a lot of it. She sent that email to me and Jacqueline, I think, shortly after she received it. And I immediately wrote an email to Michael Langford, telling him that I could not support that email. I could not support what he said in that email. And he agreed to stay out of Awakening Together's business, and he has done so. I would have loved it if that had been the end of it. But it wasn't. What happened the next day, July 22nd, is that email got broader distribution because Lynn shared it with some others. And with that broader distribution, this was where I would say the rumor started. A lot of assumptions about who those 5 people may have been. Not knowing the whole first part of the story about why Lynn resigned and how amicable that was, a lot of stories about us or me, you know, kind of in some way being unfair to Lynn and pushing Lynn out of her job and, you know, just all kinds of stuff that has no basis of truth. This is what is called rumor. Lynn was very upset. And sometimes what she said did assist the situation. But I've also heard her when the situation was going on and she, Lynn, sounded very clear-headed in the conversation. The main point that I want everyone to understand, if you are willing, is that Lynn's resignation had nothing to do with the Michael Langford emails. Lynn is resigning. We are not firing her. This has all been agreed to. She has explained it to me multiple times. She has stated that she's absolutely certain that this is something she needs to do. Is there any basis of truth in what Michael Langford said about Lynn? I have never perceived Lynn as mentally ill. That has never been my perception. Also, here's what I strongly feel, that unless someone is a psychiatrist, they should not be diagnosing anyone. Other than that, I know nothing about the email, and I'm not going to make up stories about it. The problem has been people making up stories about it and believing their own stories. That's been the problem. And it's kind of like a problem that has just snowballed and snowballed. But I want to be clear. Lynn does not feel comfortable working for Awakening Together because our organizational values and the way that we operate with our policies and all of those kinds of things and the way that all of that, she's just, and the fact that we're a church and just all of that, she is not comfortable with, and she wants to resign. And she wants to help us have a peaceful transition. And it would be great if everyone else assisted us in that peaceful transition. And let the rumors, things that you really know nothing about firsthand, let them stop. Now, there's a couple other things I want to tell you. Yeah, Lynn's saying she could not imagine where he got those ideas. She imagined people were talking bad about her, but that was her own imagination. The truth is, we just don't know. And we can make up stories. And that's what mine wants to do. Mine wants to fill in these gaps. Mine wants to find out. And I assure you, mine does not want to find out for the purpose of awakening. The mind is never interested in the purpose of awakening. The mind wants to find out so that it can know who not to trust, it can know who to hold a grievance against, etc., etc. The mind is being the mind, right? It's doing what the mind does. But we don't have to listen to or fall for the mind. We are all friends, and we are all family. And anything that happened in the past, and I will tell you, I read at least 100 emails, and there were things that were said that, oh, they were not nice, they were not kind, they were not loving, but they are, as of this moment, in the past. And they can be left behind, and we can go forward from here. All of that is entirely possible. And we are an organization who has a shared purpose of awakening to one truth. Not enlivening the ego with rumors and anger and grievance and pointing fingers. You guys all know that's ego, right? I mean, how long have we been talking about what is ego? All of those characteristics are ego. No matter what happened, those characteristics are still ego. They don't justify the blaming and the name-calling and the anger. None of that. What does Jesus say about anger? Anger is never justified. Remember? Now, there are a couple other things I need to tell you. Not exactly related to this, but you need to see it. I mentioned that there was a labor law. The sanctuary director is an employee who gets paid a salary, right? And so falls under labor law. There's a new labor law that goes into effect on December 1 of this year. And that new labor law says that if an employee is paid under 47,000 something, I don't remember the next three numbers, but paid under 47,000 something, that employee, if they work more than 40 hours a week, they have to be paid time and a half. And I don't know if you guys know, but our budget could not afford to pay Lynn for the hours she's working now under that new law. In fact, Lynn and I sat down and went over the hours that she actually works, and we figured on an average work week, she works closer to 81.5 hours. This is the service she has been giving us. So 40 of those hours would be regular time, and then the other 41.5 would be time and a half. There's no way we can afford that. So in order to get into alignment with this new labor law before December 1, we have to reduce the sanctuary hours. Lynn and Jacqueline and I worked together. We did kind of a study of when, actually Lynn did the study and presented it to Jacqueline and me. There's a study of when people are in the room, what they show up for, what people aren't really showing up for, what hours they're here the most. And based on that study, we have selected the hours that we think are the best hours for the sanctuary to be open, and the Board of Trustees has approved that. So we have a plan. As of September 1, we are going to new hours. On Sundays, all of these hours are going to be listed in Eastern time. On Sundays, we will be open from 9:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. We will be closed all night long. So on Sundays, 9:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. On Wednesdays, we're going to be open from 11:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. All the other days of the week, we're open from 7 p.m. to 11:30 at night. So we only have 2 days, right? All the rest of the time is going to be evenings only. Other than that, we will be closed. The broadcast will be off. And remember, we have to do this. It's the law, right? We have to do this. And I think it's maybe going to be good for us, too. You know, right now, when you're open 24/7, people come in kind of at scattered times. If we're open shorter times, maybe everybody will come in together, and maybe we'll all get to know each other a little better. But we are going to have to make some changes to the schedule. So what's going to be happening over the next month is I'm going to be contacting the people that are on the schedule. Some people we're going to try to move to new times so that they are presenting or having their group or whatever during open times. We may get creative. We may have more half-hour things in some cases. Maybe we'll do stuff like every other week things. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do yet. Just try and get more into the schedule. But we are going to be reducing the schedule. There is going to be a complete change to the schedule, and it will go into effect on September 1. Also, it's interesting the timing that Lynn is resigning at the same time we're having the schedule change. I have a proposal that I have to make to the Board of Directors. So what I'm about to say is not for sure, because the Board of Directors have to approve this and they don't meet until August 14th. So what I'm sharing with you now is my proposal. Instead of having one sanctuary director, as we have had, one full-time sanctuary director, I have written 2 new job descriptions for 2 new part-time employees. One will be a part-time sanctuary director, and that person will be in a leadership role. And then the other one will be an assistant sanctuary director. That person will not be in a leadership role. So that person will have less decision-making and stuff like that. We're hoping to hire the part-time sanctuary director for 30 hours a week and the part-time assistant sanctuary director for 20 hours a week. And I'm hoping, again, the board of directors has to approve these, but I'm hoping that they will approve it on their meeting on August 14th. And if so, I may post the job descriptions and the open job positions as early as Monday, August 15th. One thing we want to make sure of, based on recent experience, we don't want someone else to be hired and then feel that their values are in conflict with Awakening Together. So one thing we'll really be checking in the interview process is to make sure that you really feel that this is a fit for you in your heart, and that we feel this is a fit for you in your heart. Right? We want to make sure we have a fit. But if there's anybody who feels they may be interested in that position, please be aware that again, those two jobs, hopefully, will be coming open on August 15th, pending board approval. If everything goes well, if we have this peaceful changing of the guard, from Lynn as our sanctuary director to the new hours and the new sanctuary director and assistant sanctuary director, there will be some change, obviously. A reduction of hours is some change. But for the most part, I think the change will be minimal. However, I want to make you aware there's another possibility. I understand the sanctuary has been very peaceful the last few days. I'm really happy about that. But if a problem arises in the sanctuary where there's lots of conflict brought into the sanctuary, where people aren't letting the story go even though they don't know the facts, they're dragging it through the mud and all of that, another possibility is that we could choose to close the sanctuary the majority of the time for a temporary period of time. We would still be open for Sunday morning, still be open for Sunday evening, maybe one or two other times, but just close down and give a time out, time off, cooling off period, regroup, hire the new people, reopen, you know, kind of like that, kind of a new grand opening. There was a time last week when I thought that was likely. Now today, I think that maybe it's not, and I'm hoping that it's not likely. Again, I just talked to Lynn. She is still very committed to helping us have a smooth transition, and that certainly would be my choice, my preference. But I just wanted to let you know that if it doesn't go that way, you know, there could be a temporary period where the sanctuary is here less, and then come back in a new way with a new grand opening. Again, but we'd always be open for Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and, you know, maybe Wednesday mornings. I'd have to look at the schedule and see what other times. But it would be much more brief. One other thing I want to say, and then after this I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn and let her share. After the emails from Michael to Lynn, I needed to do some looking, because as you all know, Michael has been my primary teacher for some time. And so I needed to ask myself about this. And because I don't fully understand, especially the second email. I mean, when people ask me about it, what do you have to say about the fact that he said this? You know, that the only answer I can give is, I don't know, I don't understand. That's the only truthful answer I can give. I could make up a story in my mind and believe the story like other people do, but I'm choosing not to do that. So I don't know, I don't understand. That's the end of my words. But when I looked, in spite of this, I felt that if I stopped right now with the 7 steps to awakening, with the awareness, watching awareness, meditation, with the teachings and the most direct means to eternal bliss, with some of these other books that he has put out, like, what's this one that I love? The Importance of Practice and Effort. That's one of his books that I love. If I let go of those things, that just didn't feel right for me. Like, those things are still right for me. And it felt like it would be a mistake for me to let go of following those teachings. Like, right now, that's still where I'm supposed to be. And I did have a meeting with Lynn to explain this to her personally, because I knew that she was personally offended, and I just wanted to explain my decision. She seemed to understand in the meeting. When we had that meeting, I explained that to her. She didn't even seem to blink. Like, I didn't see anything in her that did not understand my decision. So, you won't find me abandoning those teachings. And I still will be quoting Michael's wisdom, just as I quote other people's wisdom as well. But those teachings are still the closest teachings for me right now. So that hasn't changed. And that is what I have to share. So I told Lynn that when I was finished, I would turn the mic over to her. So, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Regina. And, yeah, you know, I think that it may be confusing to people, because they think that it's because of what all these things that happened. But honestly, I think that it's just these things happened because the time had come for me to make a move, and that I was really, really just kicking and screaming no, because, you know, this is my home, and this is my sangha, and this is what I do all day, every day. And and yes, when there came about a law that said I can only work for 40 hours a week, you know, then I knew that things were going to really change. That was going to shift things. And I thought, well, that, you know, that's, you know, we'll do something else. I don't know what. And, but then, you know, the things that started coming about because of, and it, you know, just, it was a catalyst. The one thing that happened that caused so many misunderstandings. There were so many misunderstandings. Because this is the way it is, being separated from our own selves and our own hearts and our own brothers, is that we can't see into their thinking. We don't know what's on their mind, and we don't know, even when they say a sentence or a word, what they really mean. And we only know what we think it means. It only comes out of my own thinking, interpretation of what I hear and what I see. And I recognize, you know, it's not a fault in any way. It's not like saying, you know, something is wrong or bad. It's just the way that we're made. It's just the way that the human nature is working with the ego thought system. Because the ego thought system is intended to turn things around. That's how it works, is by turning things around. But, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, can take that thing and turn it around so that you can actually see the truth behind it. And the truth behind it was that I needed a big fat kick in the butt to move me through something that had not been fitting right for a while. Only not because of etiquette, because, like, in my mind, in my opinion, this is an extremely peaceful place and a very loving place. And people who come here are kind and loving and courteous. So I don't feel in any way any kind of animosity that has to do with being here. But the idea is that, I began to see that there was a lot of little things that were bothering me. And probably the most, even though this is not anything that I've said or even expressed, and I didn't even realize it until actually yesterday, that a lot of my issues have to do with the fact that I'm a very pretty hardcore Course in Miracles person, and not because we don't have a lot of Course in Miracles here, because we really do have much more Course in Miracles than we have anything else, but I just really want to focus on A Course in Miracles, and everything I look at brings up A Course in Miracles to me. And everything I hear brings up something from A Course in Miracles to me. And it's like something that's just extended out into every part of my life. And, I see all this. I see all this from that point of view that these are all projections. All these things that, you know, I think happened that went wrong. And even the letters from Michael, they were comical. I mean, it was a comical thing because it was evident to me that it didn't come from an informed person. It came from a person who thought they knew something or had something in their mind. And maybe the idea is even, to present me with the possibility, because I did ask one person who was involved, I said, what would you think if he had sent you an email like that? And they said, I would see a psychiatrist. I would think that there was something possibly wrong with me that I wasn't seeing. And I realized that, you know, people do think this way. So, but I don't, because I checked within. And I was pretty sure what I was finding was complete sanity. So, so it didn't bother me. That didn't bother me. I think the one that bothered me the most was the very first email. And I'm not going to go into any kind of great depth, but it really said that, you know, that whatever I had been doing here, I was promoting the ego and I wasn't promoting kindness, and that that I was promoting kind of chaos. And that was the thing that bothered me. It doesn't bother me if people think I'm crazy, but it certainly bothers me if people think that there's anything other than love that goes on in this room. And even when someone is writing something that might be appearing to be negative or controversial, you know, I look at my mind. I look to my own mind to see what the Holy Spirit in me is saying. And then I decide whether I think it's, you know, hurtful or not. And the most part, I think it's not hurtful. Because, you know, there's the hurt only comes if you accept it, if you believe it. If you think that it's true, that's what upsets people, is when they think that something is true about themselves, and then when someone says it, they take it to heart, even if it's just a passing look or something. You take it to heart that it means you, because that's the way the ego works. So that's really all I have to say, and I think that this is not a bad thing. It is a change. And the Course in Miracles says that we fear change. The separated ones fear change, because the first change that ever happened had such devastating effects. So if you think that this is going to cause some devastating effect, of course you're going to be afraid. But we know that that's not the case, and that if the Holy Spirit is here, and if we are aligned with Jesus, aligned with the Holy Spirit, and allowing whatever happens to flow, then there's no reason to be afraid that anything is going to go wrong, because nothing can change the will of God. Nothing can change the will of God. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter what you say and don't say. It doesn't, nothing. There is nothing matters. So And please don't be alarmed because I'm leaving, because there are going to be other people who, in fact, you know, I look at some other people and think, you know, this person would really be good at running the room, or this person would, you know, because, you know, what I value is the peace, the ability to make peace and to keep peace. And, you know, that is really the only qualification, actually, to be an admin. And, you know, I've seen it done admirably by several people. And I've done it at times when people thought that it was admirable the way I did it. So I know that it is possible to have peace. It comes from within. And that is something I posted today on my Facebook. It's a quote from Sweet Annie Pema Chodron. And let me go and find it, or so I think. And, oh, shoot. You know what? I think Dove posted it so that I could put it in here. But I'm just going to read it. It says, if we want there to be peace in the world, we have to be brave enough to soften what is rigid in our hearts, to find the soft spot and stay with it. We have to have that kind of courage and take that kind of responsibility. That's the true practice of peace. And I spoke the other day about the second lesson of the Holy Spirit, to have peace, teach peace, to learn it. And this is where I learned to teach peace. This is where I learned to have peace, coming in where there was perception that things were wrong and things were bad and things were hurtful, and people came, and I personally came here and found myself offended by things that people wrote in the room. I myself personally came here and cried because of things that people said to me in this room before it was Awakening Together, when it was still ACIM Gather. You know, I would cry because of things that they said to me. And I would think, why are they so mean? What is wrong with them? Why are they so mean? But now I look and I see a completely different picture. It's a different picture that comes from the distance of just peace has come across. And you know, I see that what that person was saying to me, and I will say that person's name here because that person is has been extremely influential to me. And even though he is insane, I love him with all my heart, and that's Teddy. Because Teddy was saying the things to me when I first came into ACIM Gather that were absolutely true. And I was very offended because he was saying things like, you're a fraud, Lynn. You are fraudulently teaching this course. And I didn't know what he meant by that because I thought I knew what I was doing. But then when I started really learning what the course means and what actually extending the principles of the course into your own life are, and how turning your thoughts around to see the truth behind what things are there, I began to see that I was a fraud. I began to see that I was full of BS, that I wasn't using the course the way Jesus intended me to use the course. Then that I was, and then for some reason I thought it was a book of nice things, and I didn't realize that it was absolute instructions on how to elevate or become connected to the Christ mind, to be one with the Christ mind and to see with the eyes of Christ. I didn't know that that was what that was all about. And then as I began to really look and see, then I began to remember the things that Teddy said to me when I first came into this room, and how I screamed and cried and said no way, and was so offended and so hurt. And I recognized it was the absolute truth. It was the absolute truth. And he was just doing me a favor by telling me what was true. And because I didn't trust him and I didn't love him and I didn't know that he only wanted what was the best thing for me. And I really did think he was trying to be mean. And maybe he enjoyed it a little bit. I have a feeling he was getting a little kick out of all of this as well. Because this is, you know, it's how it works. But that doesn't make it any less valid. It doesn't make it any less loving. And I am insane like Teddy is. and so this is the fundamental issue that I have is, you know, I don't believe in being mean to people. I believe in being honest with people. I believe in being honest with people and calling them on their crap when you see their crap. But I also believe that people have to consent to that. And people have to say, yes, please be my teacher and please do this for me. Now, obviously, I did consent to that at some point in my life and say, yes, I want to come in here and have Teddy come in here and beat the crap out of me every Friday or whatever, and end up red-dotting everybody and crying and throwing people out and banning people and all the things that we used to do. I consented to that. I joined into it. It was a melee. It was a war. It was a fight. It was a battle. And just like this last week or two, this last couple of weeks, with all of these things going on, same thing. You know, I saw it. I knew that was that it was just causing lots of crap. Lots of crap was coming up. And yes, Lenny Rose would just red dot you. Lenny Rose was not afraid. Lenny was never afraid to use his power. And that was the great and amazing thing about Lenny Rose. And that is the great and amazing thing about all of us. When we come to the place where we see that we cannot offend another. Only you can offend yourself. Only I can offend myself. And why I do not say let us not be compassionate. Because compassion is essential in all of this, and we don't hit people when they're down, and we don't make people feel worse or join in their fear or add to their fear. We don't do those things because that's just not very nice. But when people are feeling safe and whole and ready to hear the truth, then there's no reason to lie to them about it. There's only a reason to tell the truth. And I'm so, so very grateful for all of this and all of you and everything that's happened here. And I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit for kicking me in the butt over and over. And every time I've said, I'm not going to do this, something else came up. And so I recognize there's a reason behind all of it. So do I have time to play a song, Regina? So I have nothing else to say. I'll give you back the mic. Thank you, Regina.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. I just want to address one question that I saw go by on the board. You know, not everyone is in favor of awakening together the way it is. Some people do not like the fact that we have two boards and that decisions go through the boards and that we then abide by the board's decisions and that some of those decisions are documented as policies and procedures and, you know, all of that stuff. And that's okay. You know, nobody said everybody had to like it. But I want to tell you that those things come in handy. One thing that I saw in the last few weeks of conflict, you know, lots of people were writing to me with their opinions. And, you know, like person A would write to me and say, you know, person B should be banned from the room and never allowed in again. And person B would write and say, person C should be on a permanent red dot. And person C would say, person A, as soon as they show up, you should kick them out. Without policies and procedures, you know, if we just followed the whim of everybody's in-the-moment opinion, I think it would be like an attack. Because different people would be red-dotting and banning and different people at different times. The purpose of the policies are to be well thought out, well discussed, agreed to by at least a majority of two boards, and the truth is, usually it's unanimous. And then we all follow the policy so that everyone is treated consistently. And it's not just a whim of who I like, who I don't like, what my, and you know, I've had people tell me in the last week that a certain person should be banned from the room because of their teaching. And I'll be honest with you, that same person, every time I hear that person teach, I think it's beautiful. Really, I mean, I think the teaching is gorgeous. I think the person is right on. So the opinions are so different. You know, we would have chaos. Also, all of the admins are supposed to follow the policy in the same way. And so one of the things we might do in the near future is initiate kind of a retraining just to get everybody on board. Because if one person is admined one way and another person is admined another way, it's inconsistency and it can appear as unfairness. In fact, even Teddy questioned me on the phone about why he was red-dotted for certain things when so-and-so wasn't. And actually, everything should be the same. That is the purpose of the policy. It should be completely impersonal. If Regina Dawn Akers comes in here and starts throwing around the F word and calling Teddy names, Regina should be, you know, red-dotted. And if she continues, you know, bounced and all of that, just like the policy says. It is meant to be consistent. Also, some people may wonder, why do we even need etiquette? And the real reason is because we're online. If we were a physical building, people do not tend to walk into churches or ashrams and act that way. They tend to naturally be respectful in those environments, even devotional. But when you get online, especially when people are in here with names that aren't even their real names, and there's just a keyboard here, things can fly. We can have people pop into the room that know nothing about who we are. And so this is why we need etiquette. We need etiquette because we are online, and that's a different animal. But it would be wonderful if all of the members supported their etiquette with their heart, or if you find a great conflict, if you recognize Awakening Together is not the organization for you, and leave rather than, you know, continually pushing the boundary. And we are the kind of organization, we do want to be respectful and kind. I've talked to a lot of people. I know that there are people here that feel differently, but the majority wants a kind, safe environment that is focused on truth without distractions on the board. That is what the majority wants. That was also the intention of Awakening Together to begin with. And so we're bringing it back to that. And the people who come in and continually violate that, well, we'll follow the policy with them. How's that sound? So what I'm going to do now is let go of the mic because it's time for Carrie. 59 people in the room during that halfway through the meeting. I looked up, it was 54. That's been a very long time since I've seen that many people here in the sanctuary. So I want to thank you all for coming and listening to this. We do have a regularly scheduled meeting in September, but we might have to have one before then because of all the changes that are happening, right? Introducing the new schedule and stuff. So it's possible we'll actually have another special meeting at the end of August and then skip our September meeting because there won't be a need for it. Okay? All right, I'm releasing the mic, everyone. Thank you. Oh, and Lynn says also 30 on the radio, so that's currently 89 people. Was 84 a little bit ago. So thank you, everyone, for your attention. I appreciate that. Love you all.